Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this beautiful spring morning. I hope that you have been ribboned. Individuals at the doorways to the sanctuary have red and white ribbons for you to put on to wear as we celebrate Mother's Day. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our refrain. As you can tell, we have a very full service today. We are welcoming new members at Main Street in the confirmation class. We are celebrating our connection with Epworth Children's Home with a Mother's Day offering. And I also want to remind you to please register your attendance in the booklets at the end of the pews. And to note the Main Streeter news, that the Main Streeters will be going to the Iris Gardens in Sumter on May the 29th, and you need to get in touch with Zella Williams if you're going to be able to go. There is another announcement that I have been asked to make today. On May the 14th, there will be a Go Red for Women luncheon at Piedmont Tech in the Multipurpose Building. This event begins at 10:30 in the morning, and it will be followed by a town hall type of panel discussion, as well as a motivational speaker. Nancy Coey will be here to speak. It is sponsored by South Regional Healthcare and the Greenwood Rehabilitation Hospital, and there will be discussions about heart-healthy activities and events, so please do make an effort to attend this Go Red for Women luncheon. Now, let us continue our worship.
Thank you. Please stand and join us in the call to worship. Come to worship God, whose love was revealed in Jesus. Let all the ends of the earth turn to God.
Beloved, we are all loved to love as God loves us. We are to love one another as sisters and brothers.
Remember that you have been baptized. God claims you and has high expectations of you.
Invite you to join me in the invocation as found in your bulletin. Open our senses to your direction, amazing God, so we may be alert to opportunities you give us. Fill us with good news to share with those who seek meaning for their lives. We are here because we need the good news ourselves. There is much in life that we do not understand. We seek to know your word and to be led by it. Recall us to the vows of our baptism, reconfirming in us the covenant promises that link us to you and to one another. As we meet you here, our hearts are lifted up in praise. May our worship glorify your name and be pleasing to you. Amen.
Today's New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. You can find this passage on page 54 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. In this passage, an angel sends the evangelist Philip to get on board the chariot of an Ethiopian official puzzling over the meaning of Isaiah 53. Philip rereads it through the story of the life, execution, and resurrection of Jesus. The man is baptized and becomes an evangelist in his own right. Now listen for God's word. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite you now to join in the singing of the Psalter. I refer you to your insert. This is the second half of Psalm 22. The choir will sing the printed words, and we invite you to join in on the refrain. We will begin with the refrain, which Joyce will play now.
Thank you. The epistle reading for today is from the first letter of John, the fourth chapter, verses 7 through 21. You will find this on page 292 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. These verses express the deep heartbeat of life in the risen Lord. Abide in love, abide in the Spirit, given to all who confess Jesus as Son of God. Abide in God, you will abide in love. Love one another. Listen again for God's word to us. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that we have loved us and sent his only Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he loved us first. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we come to our time of prayer, I'd like to lift up several concerns, some you may not be aware of. Let us add to our personal prayer life Lindsay Barano, who was in the hospital this past week, Ruth Johannick, Chuck Drake, our mothers and the memories of our mothers as we pray today, Suzanne Rowland, Don and Rebecca Marino, Carol Hipp, the wife of retired Methodist pastor John Hipp in the hospital, Eleanor Zay, and Rhonda McGinnis, who many of you know had a second surgery this past week, and the results have been very encouraging, very positive. We continue to be thankful in our prayers and pray for her complete recovery. Let us now lift our prayers together up to God. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we think of our mothers this day and how they influenced us and how they gave us what we needed, and we praise you for the ways their love echoed your love. We also think of our mothers and the ways they failed us, as all humans do, and the ways they could not give us what we needed, and we pray your forgiveness and grace in their lives and upon their memory. On this Confirmation Day, we also consider the vows we have taken and the things we have forgotten. We have not always lived or even tried to live as your disciples, Lord. You have said through your prophet Amos that you do not want solemn assemblies, but that is mostly what we give you. You are sometimes offended by the noise of our songs, says the prophet, in the melody of our instruments. We have heard, and we do know what you take delight in, justice rolling down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Lord, it is so much easier to give you solemn assemblies and pretty melodies and small sacrifices. Justice makes us notice others and have compassion and give and fix what is broken in the world. And righteousness means we must live in our hearts as we speak in our prayers. Lord, if we live true righteousness inside and out, then we must change and fix what is broken in us. We do thank you for the words of life which offer sinners hope and healing and wholeness. Let your word take seed and bring forth great fruit for others in our lives, others you care for, others you died for, others you love just as much as you love us. Take hate and judgment and bitterness far from each of us. Give us new hearts and give us your Holy Spirit to make us new indeed. Lord, the world just now is full of fear, the threat of disease, financial crisis, and ever ready for war. Remind us, Lord, where a sure foundation lies. Lead us to be those people who know better than to put our trust in princes. We put our trust in you, and we seek your will. Guide us and give us the power to build lives on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. The same Jesus who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these gifts unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Thank you, Sarah. Good morning. Before we have our little children's message, Jones is going to lead us in a Mother's Day prayer. And when he says, "Lord, in your love," all of you will respond with, "Hear our prayer." Okay? So, take it away, Jones.
Please join me in the Mother's Day prayer found in your bulletin. Gracious God, we thank you for adopting us into your family through the miracle of your grace and for calling us to be brothers and sisters to each other. Today, we pray for our mothers who have given us life and love, that we may show them reverence and love. Lord, in your love,
hear our prayer.
For mothers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support and console them. Lord, in your love,
hear our prayer.
For women, though without children of their own, who like mothers have nurtured and cared for us, Lord, in your love,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, as a mother gives life and new nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless the women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
All right, so let's have y'all move over this way so you're closer to the confirmands over here that are sitting with me. So what is today? Mother's Day. And how many of you have learned a lot from your mom so far? Yeah? No? What are some things that you've learned from your moms? Don't all speak at once. To clean your room. Susanna said to clean your room. Do you clean your room? To be polite. Don't talk with your mouth full. That's a good one. Go to school. What else have your mothers taught you? Come on. From the children this time. What has your mom taught you? Anyways, our moms teach us a lot. And they help us to prepare for whenever it's time for us to go out on our own. And we're supposed to remember what our moms taught us. Today is also Confirmation Day. And in this church, confirmation happens usually when you're in sixth or seventh grade, and you become a member of the church. So in a little while, these youth that are sitting next to me are going to proclaim for themselves that they love Jesus, that they believe that God sent his son to die on the cross for us. And they're going to uphold this church with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their witness. And you're probably wondering what these white things are hanging on the altar, and those are stoles that they made at the confirmation retreat, and they each made it special. Each has their name on it, and things about them, and people that have encouraged them in their spiritual journey. And so they will get to wear those whenever they are confirmed today. So just like our moms teach us things that we need to know when we're ready to go out on our own, the church is like our mom. The church and the congregation teaches us about the love of God when we're children and youth. So you guys learn about Jesus, and the church is preparing you for whenever you become a sixth or seventh grader, so you can make that decision to become a member of the church, just like our mom prepares us. And the church supports us like our moms support us. And the church continues to be our backbone after we make that decision for ourselves, just like our moms will continue to be our backbone when you're ready to go out on your own when you get a little older. So today we celebrate our moms, but we also celebrate these young people right here who are making the decision to become members of the church today. So let's have a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for our moms. We ask that you be with our moms today. Let them know that you love them. And so do we. Be with our young people who are confirming what they believe today. Be with this church as we continue to support them in their spiritual journey. Amen.
And now in a time of flu, once again, we have some visitors. I'm going to make the announcement again. We are going to pass the peace, but modified in that we should sincerely make eye contact, a hearty welcome, friendly pat on the shoulder, but not so much handshaking. Let us pass the peace.
Thank you.
Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, 15th chapter, first 8 verses. And Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is a very interesting and exciting Sunday. We've got Mother's Day, we've got some visitors here, and we also have the confirmands and the confirmation class to come in immediately after the sermon. But I was thinking about mothers, as we have mentioned mothers many times in the service so far. And from time to time, this wasn't in my notes. I shouldn't say things that aren't in my notes, I know, but it just came to my mind that from time to time, my wife Caroline has said, "I'm going to send you back to your mother," or "your mother didn't do a very good job with you." And I'm not sure if she was insulting my mother or insulting me. I don't know which, but anyway. The mother church and the kind of job that we do with our children, bringing them up through Sunday school and confirmation class and continuing to bring them up and bring each other up in small groups and Sunday school classes, our mother church, as Jessica said, completes, encourages, and grows in us faith to deeper faith. So I'm thinking out loud about confirmation today, and I remember well the year of my confirmation class. I was around 12, and I remember I was the only different one. I'll tell you how different in a second. See, I am the product of a mixed marriage. Yes, I confess. My mother was a Baptist. And as a compromise, I was baptized and then confirmed 10 minutes later in the very same service. And I was the only one like that. That was the compromise. But honestly, what changed me more during that same year was my parents' divorce. You see, 12, 13-year-olds are just starting to look at the world beyond fairy tales, and they're just starting to figure out that not everyone can be trusted, and not everyone tells the truth, and not all friendships last forever. There's an old song that was going through my mind this past week. I think it was Neil Young, "Searching for a Heart of Gold." Youth, confirmation age youth are still searching and still believe that someone ought to have a heart of gold. Someone somewhere, maybe not here, but somewhere, someone should have a heart of gold. Youth are still hopeful like that for the most part. But it isn't always hope, I have learned, that drives you deeper into God's arms. Sometimes it's crisis. Sometimes it's despair. Sometimes it's distrust, disloyalty. Searching for someone to trust. I hate it when young people give up on hope at an early age. I hate it. I hated it when it happened to me. But I understand. And so many young people are dabbling in things previously delayed until much older ages. There are powerful emotions, powerful passions, powerful substances that are routinely now used and abused by even 12-year-olds in our city, in our congregation. And of course they are not ready to handle such things, nor the consequences of such things. But you know, the movies say they can. And the songs on the radio say they can. And the culture, whoever drives it, does not seem to care that 2 years ago, They were 10 years old. And even though they look pretty grown up right now, they are not ready for powerful emotions, powerful passions, and powerful substances, even though they are routinely used and abused. And truth be told, and listen carefully here, because every single one of us in a few moments are going to renew our confirmation vow. So in a sense, we are all being confirmed today. Truth be told, none of them are ready for confirmation. Of course not. Not a single one of them understands how the one God is both Father, Son, and Spirit. They don't have a clue how to explain how Jesus' death on the cross has anything to do with their salvation or what it is they're being saved for or from. And they still harbor petty grudges against people who have hurt them. And they rarely, if ever, pray for their enemies, even though Jesus taught us to and they know it. Giving of their time and talents and gifts and service and witnesses is going to be what they promise and what I have a right as a pastor to expect from them, but I don't really. That's what all of us have promised and will promise again today. But that promise is kept in fits and starts, and for some people it fades completely from memory. In other words, they are just like you and me. Just like you and me. The mother church isn't as hands-on in mothering as it once was. And you know, Sunday school is not as important with parents as it once was. We just don't have that much time and influence as we once did. It seems that other people are driving the culture, and in many areas it seems like they're driving full speed toward a cliff. And we sit back with the words of life and with the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, and we talk about faith, and we still trust that the one heart of gold was Jesus. But in our daily life, I have to say only rarely do I see effort to live out the promises we made that the confirmands and every one of us will make again today. We have all promised to be loyal to Christ. These are the words, loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in our power to strengthen its ministries, to faithfully participate by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And many of us did learn of God and God's great love in Jesus Christ through the United Methodist Church. This denomination was our mother in faith. Whether you're a new confirmand today or a 75-year-old ex-confirmand, for each professing member here, the church, the world, and God have a right to expect to see in your life loyalty to Christ through the United Methodist Church, if you promise that, and faithful participation and prayer and presence, that means showing up, and gifts and service and witness. And if you truly have found the heart of gold in Jesus Christ, then you have a responsibility to reveal God's love in your life so that others can find Him too. And you do that through living out this promise. Now, I have had a few people in my life, one a Sunday school teacher, one a grandmother, one an uncle, and others, who were consistent in their real heartfelt examples of Christ's love. I've had a few. But folks, we are all called to be that every day. We are not just another civic club, a group of people who do nice things. We are called to reveal to the seekers, to the hurting, and to the soul hungry that God is real, and you can find Him here. Any one of us, you should be able to reveal to those who are seeking the reality of God's living in our hearts. These confirmands are not just joining a club. They are saying, church, I am ready. Confirmation is saying, mama church, you have taught us and you have pointed us Godward, and it took. I do believe in my own faltering way. Now, church and God, help me grow into it the rest of the way. Show me, church, what Jesus' love looks like. Show me, church, what forgiveness of enemies looks like. Show me, church, what compassion on the poor looks like. Justice for the oppressed. Truth spoken to power. Show me, church, that God in Jesus Christ is not just a man buried in a book in dry, dusty words. Show me, church, that Jesus lives in you. Give me hope that it's all true. All of our children and all who know us and meet us and have anything to do with us should be able to see what we value in this place, this church, and support it with our prayers, our presence, and our gifts. And all the people out there should be able to see in our service in Jesus' name in the community and in our witness to His life and death and resurrection that we do indeed take seriously our role as disciples. And if we kept these vows as we said we would, this sanctuary would be like Easter every week, and we would make a huge difference in the community, which was the idea from the very beginning. But as I said earlier, none of our confirmands are really ready to keep these vows, and neither are we. As a whole, we talk a good talk, and we nod to God. I think, as I said this morning, that might be the only thing you remember from the sermon. We nod to God. I saw a funny thing on Facebook last week, and yes, the preacher's on Facebook. Look me up. Join me. I'll be your friend. I saw a funny thing. I mean, I thought it was funny and sad. You can become a fan of God. Join, you know, so-and-so became a fan of God. And I thought, oh, no. I'm afraid the entire church of whatever denomination tends to act like God's fan club. And here, once a week, we have a pep rally, and the rest of the week, we wish God well and we hope He wins. But that's not really the plan, is it? Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we the players on the field? When Jesus called disciples, He didn't call them to the sidelines, did He? I mean, the disciples, the first ones, went out and risked their lives, and they told the story of the gospel, and made it clear that we are all sinners who need a Savior. And the one true heart of gold, the heart of God, is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior we need. And more, Jesus is also the perfect example of the love and the life that God expects from us. And more than that, Jesus' gospel promises us that the Holy Spirit will dwell in us and empower us not to cheer from the sidelines, but to play in the game and to live out the love that Jesus did in the world. Faith comes and goes. Faith ebbs and flows. But I want you to remember that Jesus, through Jesus, we can pray and we can know the comfort of God's presence, and we can pray and receive the ability to forgive even when we don't feel like it. We have drifted in the church. We have drifted from God's active hands and hearts in the world and kind of defined ourselves all the way down to just passive fans of God. Now that won't do. It won't do because people are hurting, people are buying into the superficial life of consuming, and they are feeding our fancy, our passing fancies, fulfilling fads and fashions, medicating to forget, and following other dead ends, which leave us more empty than before. God is the real deal. Jesus lives. Jesus lives in us. And our mother church has called us into high expectations. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand here. Grace is free and God's love is absolutely free. But the church, echoing Jesus, has always said, you have something to do. Don't keep the good news a secret. Pass it on. Witness it out loud. Pray and practice, encourage and serve. Don't be a taker only in the gospel. Jesus came to serve and to give us a model of how we can serve others. Fans on the sidelines are takers who just say, go God. But that's not doing what Jesus said. When He washed the disciples' feet, He said that He was giving an example to serve, even in ways that the world might think are demeaning. And when He stopped and helped and healed, He was showing compassion. And when He fed the hungry crowd, showing compassion. And when He cried at the death of Lazarus and the grief of His sisters, He was showing compassion. This faith of ours is not just for us. It is meant to show in the ways we feel and care for others. And also, this money we have. Yes, I'm going to bring up money and faith. This money we have. However many dollars we have, each dollar is a vote about what we value. Are you voting for God? That's the end of the money section. Are you voting for the continuing and expanding ministry through this church? Witness is the final part of the question. And it is the defining thing for all Christians. I know middle-class Methodists do not like to offend anyone, and they don't want to talk about religion. But if you have a truth that we all have a God-given hunger for, a life and death truth about what God has done in Jesus Christ, a truth that can help the guilty move on free from old pain, a truth that can help the wounded start again, the bitter feel warmth and love again. If you have such a truth and refuse to even mention it out loud, why? Why? Why would you keep such a healing and hopeful, life-changing truth a secret when you know in your own heart how much it means to you? Confirmation says, and I'll address the front row now, says, you girls and boys have grown enough that you can start living out this faith of ours on your own. Says, you guys are more than just children of the church. You're now disciples on your own. Are any of us ready to do that perfectly? Any of us? Of course not. Not perfectly. But we do pray for the power and the guidance of God's Holy Spirit, and for the difficult decisions we must make, and for the habits of hurt and waste we tend toward. And we pray that we can grow from faith to deeper faith and support one another right here in this church, in classes, in small groups, in youth, in worship. We're never finished. And we are none of us ever really ready to be fully Christian, but ready or not, there is a world out there, and God so loved that world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes should not perish, but have life everlasting. Ready or not, Jesus left us with those living words for a dying world. Confirmands today and confirmands from all the yesterdays, God is here to help us keep our promises. He is the vine. We are the branches. Grow, church, grow. At every critical turn in your life, I hope you will ask yourself, does the fact that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ have anything to say to me? I think it does. And if it doesn't, I think it should. And when you leave the church at the close of this service, I want you to remember who you are. You will have, by the end of this service, have renewed your own personal membership vow. Remember who you are. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. If I had thought way ahead, we would have closed with, "Oh Jesus, I have promised." Go make of all disciples is close enough. I want you now to turn to the insert, the service of confirmation. And this is a high and holy moment in the life of this church. Kennedy Britt, Abby Dent, Susanna Jones, Jackson Nichols, Jones Pendergrass, and Jacob Stockman, I invite you to come forward. And they have decided, since this is the beginning of their own claim, of their own discipleship, their own membership, then they will stand with their parents and friends and family seated in seats of honors, but they will take these vows on their own. The church, is of God and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word, sacraments, the maintenance of Christian fellowship and discipline, the edification of believers and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which it alone supplies. Now, confirmands, ask for your attention, and I'll be asking you these questions that we've already gone over. Do you, in the presence of God and this congregation, renew the solemn vow and promise that was made at your baptism? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now, more personal questions. Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church? I'll ask you to kneel. Kennedy, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Abby, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Susanna, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jackson, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jones, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jacob, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'm going to invite the confirmants to stand and face you. And at the end of the service, I'll have them out in the narthex for you to greet them. They did want me to announce that in some congregations, there is a tradition of giving money on the day of confirmation. They did ask me to announce that. Now, they have professed the Christian faith, the universal Christian faith as contained in the Apostles' Creed, an ancient creed from the second century of the church. And they are now saying, I'm going to live out that faith in the United Methodist Church. And so I asked them, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And now, brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care these persons whom we this day receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. And now, congregation, you listen, you are renewing your vows with them. We are all confirmed today. We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's holy church and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that, surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Now for the confirmands, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you now and forevermore. Amen. I ask you all to be seated. For now, go ahead and be seated for now and join me in the narthex after the closing hymn. receive this blessing, this benediction. You are blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Savior, and blessed with the presence and the comfort of God the Holy Spirit, even in this moment, to guide you from faith to deeper faith. You have all been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.